Okay, it's great to be here, and I want to make special note and thank the Michaels for being one of the sponsors of today's program. We appreciate it for making it possible. I also saw Yethro Friedenberg was here, but now he's not here, who helped us with the designing of the flyers. I hope everyone enjoyed the different shiurim we had throughout the day, and I want to make sure to end on time because I don't want to go into the next shiur, which is the best shiur of the day, and there's for shalom bias issues. We'll make sure. Hopefully Shana will be on time, so it won't be, she's coming from the five towns. So the topic that I'm speaking about today is Torah's solution to sibling rivalries. Because if you look in the Torah, you see that it's a major problem, and I think in that way the Torah reflects life, where it's a major problem as well. And really I would summarize it this way. It's a tale of two Svarim. We have Sefer Bereshit and we have Sefer Shemot. Sefer Bereshit is replete with sibling rivalries. It almost seems like all the siblings fight with each other. Somehow when we get to Sefer Shemot, it all changes. And people are working together. And really the model of that is Moshe and Aaron. And there are three parts to the Shia. First, to see how terrible it is in Sefer Bereshit. Then, to see how wonderful it is in Sefer Shemot. And finally, they ask the most important question, which is, how do we get from Sefer Bereshit to Sefer Shemot? How do we make sure that we live lives of Sefer Shemot in this regard and not Sefer Bereshit? So let's begin. The first two brothers, Cain and Hevel. We all know the story. Cain is jealous. He's angry. Pasuk Vav, Hashem tries to stop him from making a mistake. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Lama charelach v'lama naflu fanecha. Why are you so angry? What's the big deal? In fact, he says, Haloim teitiv seit. If you'll be good, you'll carry it. It'll carry you. What Hashem is encouraging Cain, says the Ramban, is to realize that when we're jealous and we act out of that, it lowers us. You're the older brother, Hashem says to Cain. You should be able to carry this self-respect, bear with it, and you'll end up coming out even stronger for it. Halo in tetiv seit. Very often the way we say, be the bigger one, be the mature one, be the older one. And just like that line of reasoning doesn't work today, it didn't work with Cain. Just to see how strong these emotions can be. And of course, as we turn the page, we know that as we move to the generations of the Avot, this becomes an acute problem. Sarah is upset with how Yishmael is acting. It says that he was mitzachik. Rashi says it was about particular sins he did. Avodah Zarah, Kibbutz Arayot, Shvichut Damim. But in the next pasuk, you have another tone, pasuk Yud. Sarah says to Avraham, send this boy and her mother out, and his mother out, ki lo yirash ben ha'ama azot im b'ni im Yitzchak. Because he's not going to inherit together with Yitzchak, meaning it's about a struggle for the inheritance. Rashi says in pasuk Yud on this pasuk, "Mitshuvat Sarah ki lo yirash ben ha'amazot im b'ni atalameit shaya meirivim Yitzchak al Yerusha." We see from here that part of what was going on with Yishmael was that he was fighting with Yitzchak about the Yerusha, not just his own personal conduct. There was a tension with Yitzchak, a sibling rivalry. And in fact, if we look at the Tosefta says this is what mitzachek means also, not the pshat of avodah zarah gilui arayos shvichas damim. The Tosefta says, how could you say that Avram had in his house a child who was doing these sins? No way! So the Tosefta, because of that, says, the bold part at the end, Yishmael was mitzachik bidat over Yomer alti yishotim. Don't be fools. Ani b'chor v'ani noto shnei chalakim. His mitzachik was mocking people who wondered whether he was going to be the one to inherit Avraham as a b'chor. He was asserting his rights as the b'chor. That was the tension, Yishmael and Yitzchak. In fact, the Bala Turim says that Mitzachik is bigamatria laharog, and quotes the Medrash, which says that he was firing arrows at Yitzchak to kill him. Ever see the kids shooting arrows at each other? And we don't give them the ability to kill each other. Although I heard in the news this morning that a six-year-old boy shot his brother with his mother's gun. Again, that emotion of the tension they have with each other, right? The shooting of arrows, laharog. We move to page 3, we see that in the next generation, it becomes even sharper to the point where one of our avot is taking action as part of this sibling rivalry. We know Rivka is concerned about the kicking, the strange kicking she has. She's told she has two children who will bear two nations and struggle with each other. It starts from the very birth. Yaakov comes out holding on to the heel of Esav. Rashi says in the next source, this is a sign that they wouldn't give each other a chance to finish their mission. They're going to be pulling at each other, clawing at each other, unseating each other in their own lifetimes. And we all know, the story continues at the top of the page. Esav comes home and he's hungry, wants some food. Yaakov won't give him food. Only if he'll sell him the Bechorah. Shocking. We continue on in the page, continue on in the end of Parsha Toldot. Yaakov dresses up like Esav and fools his father into giving him the bracha. All this part of a sibling rivalry. And when Esav comes in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, he hears what his father says and he cries out, Vayitzak tzeaka gdola umara ad ma'od. Vayomer la'aviv barcheni gam ani avi. He cries to his father, bless me too. And his father says, Bo achicha b'mirma v'yikach b'irchasecha. Your brother, this Yitzchak describes it, came surreptitiously and took your bracha. That's why he's called Yaakov. He healed me twice. And then Esav cries to his father and says, Pasuk Lamed Chet, is there only one bracha? Isn't there one for me too? And he cries. And this generates the hatred. Esav is disenfranchised. Pasuk Mem Aleph Vayistom, Esav et Yaakov, ala bracha. It leads to the separation of the family forever. Rivka is afraid of losing both children on the same day. And turning to page 4, even when they finally reconcile with each other, the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach, they can't live with each other. I'd say, not only figuratively, but literally. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Esav leaves to Seir, Yaakov goes to Sukkot, and we know it's the beginning of the process of Yaakov and his family moving to Mitzrayim. As we summarize on the Seder night, Yoshua Perek Chav Dalid, we talk about how Be'ever Hanar Yashvu Avoteichem Me'olam Terach and Yitzchak. We get the Pasuk Dalid, how Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav, Ve'etein Le'esav Etar Seir L'Reshet Oto, Be'Yaakov Uvanov Yordu Mitzrayim. The separation, the inability of Yaakov and Esav to get along is presented here as part of what leads to Yaakov and the Jewish people needing to go into Galut. The Galut begins with this irreparable separation between brothers. And of course we know, moving to the next generation, how it actually led to that. But before we get there, it's not only Yaakov and Esav, it's Rachel and Leah. Rachel doesn't have children, Bereshit Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph, Vatera Rachel ki lo yoda li Yaakov, Vatikane Rachel b'achota. The Orachaim says that the fact that Leah was her sister was the reason for the jealousy. She wouldn't have felt the same way seeing some other woman having children. It was seeing her sister having children to her husband, that sibling challenge that we often feel with each other, that was the tension. And of course, as I mentioned, we see it even sharper with the children of Yaakov, to the point where Pasuk Dalet, Vayisnu'u oto v'lo yachlu davro l'shalom. They were unable to speak to each other peacefully. And symbolically, Yosef is sent to look for his brothers. He can't find them. Someone finds him instead and asks him, Matavakech, what are you looking for? And he says a phrase that's become synonymous with looking for each other, looking to reconcile with each other, Etachaya nochi mevakech. But he can't find them. And when he approaches them, Pasuk Yotet, it's interesting to see how the Torah formulates this. Vayomru ish elachiv. The brothers say to their brothers, to themselves, Hine bala chalamota lazeva. Here comes that dreamer. They don't call him brother. He's not one of their brothers. And it's this distance that's developed, this chasm between them, which allows for the thought of killing him, for selling him. And it's interesting to see even Yehuda's logic for not doing that. It's not, we should be immoral, how can we kill someone? What will we gain from killing our brother? Let's sell him instead, at least we'll get some money out of it. Look how much they've objectified him, they've demonized him, they're distant from him. Just to finish this part of the shir, on the top of page 5, not surprising that Yehuda's own children relate to each other this way. Yehuda first has the Yerida from his brothers, and then he has a number of children from his own wife, and they all start dying. We're told first in Pasuk Zayin about his Bechor Er, who's a rabbi in Hashem, we're not told why. We're soon going to learn from his brother Onan, and Hashem kills him. Yehuda says to Onan he should marry his brother's wife and do Yibum and make a child for his wife. Pasuk Tet, Onan knows the children are not his. So he doesn't want to have relations in a way that'll have children, chas v'shalom, to give his dead brother anything. Levilti netan zera l'achiv. That's what motivates him. It's a sickly result of this continued chain reinforcing of the rivalry. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks summarizes Sefer Bereshit deep down. The book of Bereshit is exploring the most profound source of conflict in history. Freud thought the great symbol of conflict was Laius and Oedipus, the tension between fathers and sons. Bereshit thinks otherwise. The root of human conflict is sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, and now Joseph and his brothers. It's not just about these siblings, it's about how they lay the seeds of discord of families and peoples, it all starts with the local family of siblings. Yes? As I mentioned, I think Sarah, you see Chiddush beyond Cain and Abel, that the parents, Sarah gets involved. So I don't know if they're the source, but they definitely play a role, and that's why we need to teach parents about it. Here we are. We all know it from our own siblings, we all know it from our parenting role with children, and let's see what we can learn about it. So turning the page to page 6, as I mentioned, in Sefer Shemot, it's a different story. Shemot Perek Dalet. Moshe says he can't do the mission. Shem says, don't worry, I'm sending Aaron to help you. He's going to come out to meet you. He's going to see you and he'll be happy in his heart. Not just work with you, he's going to be happy to work with you. We're told in Pasuk of Zayin, he meets him and he kisses him. Chazal said, it's not clear who kissed who. Chazal said, this is indicative of the fact that the emotions were mutual. Ma'u vayishaklo, says the Midrash. Each happy for each other's greatness. In fact, Rashi quotes Chazal, will go even further. We know that Moshe initially passed on the mission, told Hashem he's not good enough, don't send me, send someone else, I can't accomplish it. He delayed, he gave Hashem such a hard time with it. In fact, if you look at Dalet Yud, he refers to yesterday, 3 days ago. Chazal learned from this multiple reference that 7 days Moshe delayed the mission and kept telling Hashem he shouldn't do it. And Rashi quotes Chazal who say, why was he so hesitant? People are used to thinking for other reasons, but Rashi says, V'chol zeh shelo haya rotze litol gedula al Aaron achiv shehaya gadol imenu v'naviyaya. He didn't want to steal Aaron's thunder. Aaron was doing his thing. He didn't want to step on his toes. These emotions of Moshe and Aaron. And that's the way Rashi summarizes the fact that in two psukim in Shemot Perek Vav, we introduce to Moshe and Aaron first as Aaron and Moshe, and then as Moshe and Aaron. Rashi says to teach you, Sheshkulim Ke'echad. They were one force. They were equal. This one first, that one first, it doesn't matter. And that's why it's not surprising that the most famous pasuk that speaks about our ability to sit with each other as a group, Hine Matovu Manoim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, is followed by the pasuk of Kashemen Hatov Al Arosh Yored Al Zakan Zakana Aron Sheyored Al Pi Mitotav. It's not coincidental. Beautiful midrash in the bottom of page 6 tells us that Hashem, the Jewish people are having a conversation, and the Jews say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says in Shir HaShirim, Mi Tencha Ke'achli, Halavai, I should be your brother. Our relationship with the Jews and God should be like a brother. The Jews say, Ata Motzei Kol Achim Sonim Zeh L'Zeh. Why should that be our relationship? All brothers hate each other. Kain Soni Lehevel Yishmol Soni Yitzhak Esav Soni Yaakov. Save our bracha. The Jews finally said to Hashem, we have a suggestion. Amr Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kemoshe Yaron. Let's be like Moshe and Aaron. Shenemar hini matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad shayu ohavim u'mechavavim zeh et zeh. Shebisha shenatal Moshe et amalchut v'yaron et hakeuna lo sanu et zeh et zeh. Ela hayu smechim zeh b'gdul hazeh v'zeh b'gdul hazeh. That's the idea. That's Moshe and Aaron. In fact, if you look at page 7 to finish the second part of the shir, we saw earlier the psukim from Yeshua Perich of Dalid that talk about the discord between Esav and Yaakov and it leading to their separation and Yaakov and the Jewish people going into Galut. Pasuk Hey, Vayishlach et Moshe v'yet Aaron v'agof Mitzrayim kasher esiti v'kirbo v'achar hotzeiti etchem. It's not just the fact that then we left Mitzrayim, it's who Hashem sent, Moshe v'Aaron. If Yaakov and Esav leads to Galus, Moshe and Aaron are the way to Geulah. I don't think it's coincidental. And this is the time to quote a very famous story we all know that has no source within our writings. It's a popular folk story, Jewish folk story, that fits in very beautifully with this theme. I'm sure we all know the story about the two brothers who live in adjacent fields, and they all work their fields. And one brother has 10 children, and the other has no children. The one with 10 children one night says to himself, my brother, he has no happiness in his life. Let me give him some of my wheat. And he goes and he puts a bundle of wheat in his brother's warehouse. The same night, the other brother, he's thinking, my brother has 10 children. I don't need all this wheat. He can't support himself. He goes, he puts wheat in the other brother's warehouse. And they both wake up the next morning and they have the same amount of wheat. I don't understand. And this goes on night after night until finally one night, on their way to give each other wheat, they meet in the mountain in between their two estates and cry on each other's shoulders. And the story concludes, that's where the Har HaBayit, the Beit Mikdash, is built. the place where brothers can care enough for each other this way. And if there is a source in Judaism for this, it's the Divrei Chazal about Binyamin and Yosef when they finally are reunited in Mitzrayim. It says they're crying on each other's shoulders. Rashi quoting Chazal say that Yosef is crying out Tzavarei, plural of Binyamin, because there are two Batei Mikdash in Binyamin's Chelek that are going to be destroyed. And Binyamin is crying out Tzavarov, singular, for the one Mishkan Shiloh that's going to be destroyed in Yosef's Chelek. Or in other words, the brotherly love and the connection to the Batei Mikdash. And this is how many explain the fact that we bless our children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh, the first brothers who got along. So to summarize, Bereshit is about sibling rivalry. Not just rivalry, but extreme situations and the damage it causes. Shemot is about sibling love and the geula that it brings. And this year is meant to be about now the third part, which is how do we aim for Sefer Shemot and stay away from Sefer Bereshit? Are we ready? The beginning of Sefer Shemot is the transition from Yaakov and his family to the Jewish people as a people. We're introduced via the Shemot B'nei Yisrael, but that means the sons of Jacob. How do we know? Because it says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Pasuk Zion, though, says, Uvnei Yisrael, Paru, Vayishvitzu, Vayirbu. Here we're using the term B'nei Yisrael as we generally use it. The Jewish people, we've transitioned. How do we get from a family that fights to a family that can build a people who are united? A lot was learned and meant to be learned from Yaakov Avinu, who on the one hand is part of the two worst sibling rivalries, first with his brother and then the father of his children. And Chazal say that he did something to cause it. We talked about parents being involved in the back, right? He did something to cause it. So on the one hand, we learn from Yaakov what not to do. But I think if we look carefully, we can learn from Yaakov what to do, what he did at the end of his life, to bring it all together in a proper way. So referencing now the second source on page 8, the Gemara in Shabbat tells us, Olam al yishaneh adam b'no ben habanim. Should never show favor, even if you favor one child over others, because it was that tonet pasim that caused all the damage. He ripped the coat off and dipped it in the blood. It was the symbol of their anger towards Yosef. So we learn what not to do. But I think we can also learn what to do. The first person in the Torah we're mentioned as being sick is Yaakov. Bereshit perek mem chet, vayi acharei advarim ha'ele vayomer liyosef, hinei avicha choleh. He knows to take his children to him. What's the connection? So the Midrash tells us the fact that Yaakov was the first to be mentioned to be sick is not coincidental. He was the first one to get sick. The Midrash tells us, looking at the next source, Avram asked God to make people old, so we know who to blame. Avram asked God to make people old so that in the room you could tell the difference between a father and a son. Yitzchak asked that God give people Yisurin so that they could be miskaper for their sins. And Yaakov asked God to make people sick. Why? Yaakov said, if a person doesn't get sick and die suddenly, they don't have a chance to work things out between their children. Interesting. Second to the last line, Mitoch shehu choleh shnayim o shlosha yamim. If a person can be sick 2 or 3 days, hu meyashev ben banav, he'll have a chance to make peace between his children. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha dover tov tavata, u'mimcha hu matchil. You're going to be the first one to show us how to do it. Or in other words, the end of Yaakov's life and his sickness, according to Chazal, wasn't happenstance. It was something he asked for in order that he could complete things, bring people together in the right way. And I think you see this on multiple levels with Yaakov, and this is what I'd like to discuss. The first thing you see about Yaakov is that he gives brachos to everyone. Or as it's said in Hebrew, kulam. Everyone gets a bracha. And this is different than he experienced with Esav. Let's remember what we saw earlier in the shir. When Esav heard what his father said, that he had given the bracha to Yaakov, he cried out this heavy, deep cry, and he said, bless me too, my father! And Yitzchak said, I'm sorry, I blessed Yaakov. Pasuk Lamed Chet, Esav says again, Havracha achati lecha avi? Do you only have one bracha? Barcheni gam ani avi? Bless me too! Vayisa Esav kolo vayev. Yitzchak answered him and said, I'm sorry, I've already put your brother in charge. Then it says in Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayisdom Esav et Yaakov al HaBracha. The hatred set in when, not that Yaakov had received a bracha, but that Esav couldn't receive one. Yaakov aimed to do something different with his own children. As we see in Parshat Vayechi, Yaakov also gives bracha, but he calls all of his children together and gives them all bracha. Vayivarech Otam. plural. He has a bracha for everyone. So that's point number one. I have two more points to make, with the third being the most important, but let's start with the second. The second and third both relate to the rest of this pasuk. Vayivarech otam, everyone gets a bracha. Next. Ish asher kevir chato. Each one gets a bracha that's appropriate for them. Rashi says, bracha atida lavo kol echad ve'echad. The bracha that will one day be received by each one of them. The Sforno takes it further. L'chol echad me'em natan bracha tzricha lo b'yichud. He gave each one of them the bracha that they needed personally. The Or HaChaim, even deeper. Hara'ui lo kefi b'chinat nishmato kefi ma'asav. Not just what they needed, but who they were. What they will receive, what they needed, who they were. It wasn't just a random bracha in a shakel. It was, this is who you are. This is what I'm blessing you so you should be able to succeed. And this is, of course, what the Midrash tells us about Moshe and Aaron as the backdrop to that last line. Next source. Zeh samech v'gdulato shel zeh, v'zeh samech v'gdulato shel zeh. On the Pasuk in Tehillim, chesed v'emet nivgashu, tzedek v'shalom nashaku. The Midrash tells us chesed was Aaron. Emes was Moshe. Tzedek was Moshe. Shalom was Aaron. They knew their strengths. They knew that the other brother had other strengths. They're happy with how they realized their potential and happy with how their brother realized his brother realized his. And this is how many Mefarshim explain other situations of bracha in addition to this model of Yaakov. For example, we all know that Yaakov surprises Yosef when it comes time to bless Menashe and Ephraim. He crosses his hands and puts his right hand on Ephraim. The Netziv explains, bottom of page 9, it wasn't that Ephraim was important and Menashe wasn't. It was that Ephraim was meant to be first for inyanim that are spiritual and Menashe was supposed to be in charge of things that were physical. And this bracha he was giving to Ephraim more than Menashe. And of course, famously, everyone's familiar with this pshat. Most people are not familiar with the fact that it comes from as early as the Sforno, looking on page 10. Some people took this back to Yitzchak. And they noted that Yitzchak gives Yaakov two different brachot at the two stages. Initially, when he thinks it's Esav, he gives him a physical bracha. Then when he knows it's Yaakov and he's sending him off, it says a similar beginning. Then he's giving a different bracha. He's giving the Mesorah. He's giving over the place within the Jewish tradition to Yaakov. The Sforno says he had intended initially that Yaakov receive Eretz Yisrael and be the continuation of the line, but Esav be the ruler and be in charge of the Gashmiut side. So that's why he gave one and the other. So we definitely see it by Yaakov with his own children. Some take it back to other situations as well. And this is very important for ourselves as parents and for sibling rivalry beyond ourselves. As is summarized in the bottom of page 10, when we are gifted with a child, we have been entrusted with a unique soul. We are charged to find ways to cultivate that child's talents and strengths. We also need to find ways to love each child and value their uniqueness. The best way to do this is to really think about what that specific child loves to do, what brings that child joy. Skipping, training ourselves to appreciate each child for who they are can help us identify with each of our children and avoid favoring one child over the other. Yaakov blesses each of his children and blesses them based on who they are and appreciating who they are. As I mentioned, there are three points. And the third point relates back, let's go back for a second to page 9, to the last part of that pasuk, top of page 9. Vayivarech otam, each receives a bracha. Ish asher kevir chato, each receives a unique bracha. Beirach otam. It should say, ish asher kevir chato, beirach oto. Rashi, top of page 11. Lo hayalo lomar ela ish asher kevir chato berach oto. Matam lo mevirach otam. Lefi shenatan liyuda gvurat ari. Vilebinyamin chatifato shel zev. Ula naftali kaloto shel ayal. He gave each shevet their unique bracha. Yachol shelo kalolam kulam bechol habracha. Maybe he didn't include all of them in all the bracha. Tam lo mevirach otam. He gave each one their own bracha, but included them in each other's bracha. What does that mean? There are two pshatim. One of the Gurariyeh, one of the Or HaChaim, I think they're both correct and important. I want to focus on the Or HaChaim because it's a bigger chiddush and requires more explanation, but let's begin with the Gurariyeh. Gurariyeh says that when he gave Yehud the strength and Naftali speed, each of the other Shvatim got a little bit of that too. You could say they learned from each other. You could say it was a zgula. But each one got a little bit of the bracha of the other. Okay. The Or HaChaim says something deeper and higher. He says, the point of Yaakov was, kishayir b'malat echad v'shif'o v'adragato l'kol achav yagiyu gam kein miktat dovar zeh. When one brother succeeds, if you're looking at it properly and if you're functioning correctly together, everyone else benefits from that too. Not because they're faster or stronger, but because the team is better, faster, and stronger. I always tell people, I think it's the positive lesson from Color War, to the men from camp. And that it's not the way I succeed. It's being part of a team where I benefit because we succeed. The problem with Color War is that we can only get Jews to see themselves as a team when they're fighting against another team. And hopefully we can see all Jews as one team and eventually the whole world as one team. But it starts in Color War at least to see two people as a team. And you see this in the end of Parshat Vayechi. There are two units that describe the return of Yosef and his brothers to Mitzrayim. They're parallel in that it describes the return. It describes how one side, Yosef and his brothers, are looking, reflecting on their reality, and then their interaction and request from one another. The first side is about how the brothers of Yosef, upon the return to Egypt, notice that their father is dead, and they're afraid that it's going to be Yosef's time for revenge. And they ask Yosef, they command Yosef, according to Chazal, they lie to Yosef, about their father saying he should be nice to them. And they ask him to continue being there for them. And he, of course, promises to be there. But the completion of this picture is the left side. Yosef returns to Mitzrayim. He sees that his children and grandchildren are acculturated in Egypt. He's afraid that he's not going to get out. His family is going to remain. He needs them too. He needs them to promise that they'll take his bones out so that his family will leave. So who needs who? Bereshit ends with a recognition of the two fighting parties that they need each other. Or as the brothers say when they come down to Mitzrayim, and according to Chazal, they're looking for Yosef. Achim anachnu b'nei yesh echad. Chazal say this beautifully about Moshe and Aaron in the pasuk we read before. Kashem en hatov al arosh, yored al hazakan. Zakan Aaron sheyored al pin midotav. It says the word zakan twice. The Midrash asks, v'chi shnei zakanim hayu li Aaron? Did Aaron have two beards? And kevan shera Moshe et Hashem en yored al zakan Aaron, haya sameach kilu al zakanam. When he saw the oil of Aaron being anointed at the Kohen Gadol, dripping down his beard, he felt like it was on his own beard. Which reminds us of the famous Rav Aryeh Levine story, right? Where he went to the doctor with his wife, and the doctor said, "What's wrong with you?" And Rav Aryeh Levine said, "My wife's leg hurts us." Right? The point of the us, the pain of each other. There are times we feel that about a spouse, and times we don't feel that about a spouse. But we should always feel that. And there are times we feel that about a brother and times we don't feel that about a brother. And that's when, if we can transcend the loneliness, the aloneness, to see ourselves as part of something bigger, that's the ultimate solution of who Aaron or Moshe, who Moshe the Aaron. One team, shkulim ke'echod, you can mention one first, mention the other first, shkulim ke'echod. It's a different reality that begins with the messages that Yaakov is teaching his children. We'll conclude now with the next few pages. Which I'll mention briefly because we're post the time. And I told all the speakers, it doesn't matter when you start, you have to end on time. But one could say there's a chiluk in the last slot because there aren't six speakers that are waiting to speak. And especially with my wife who's coming from the five towns, I do not see it starting at 1:10. Because I had to come from the five towns and there's a parade in Manhattan. Some people seem very proud. And so there's all kinds of traffic issues. So I think we're okay. But I'll just mention it briefly. This notion, and I'll summarize it again. What does Yaakov teach us besides what not to do? Everyone needs a bracha. Each person's bracha should be unique to who they are. And the highest thing is to help people feel that the bracha they each have are meant to help each other with. That togetherness is important for a spouse. It's important for brothers. It's important for the Jewish people. It's important for the world. If we take a look here, the Midrash on page 12 explains that the Jewish people are compared to sheep. It's just like one sheep is in pain, the whole flock feels it. One Jew sins, one Jew is punished, everybody feels it. It's not because there's a mitzvah, we all know it to be true, we all know what we feel when we hear about these kind of situations. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gives the famous mashal of the person drilling under his seat on the boat. Nimshal being, we're all in the same boat. Right, a phrase that goes all the way back to that. The famous Yerushalmi that explains the Isser of Nekama. If by mistake, you're on purpose, your right hand strikes your left hand, Would we ever think of having our left hand strike our right hand back? It's all us. It's all one. And the Sivas Olam, the Maral, explains that we look at each other and we notice that we're separate physically, but as far as our neshamot are concerned, our existence, our goals, our mission, our identity, we're all one. Three figures throughout Jewish history, spanning thousands of years, who represented this in a beautiful way. Let's start with Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not told much about Moshe Rabbeinu's actions before he was chosen as a leader, and therefore what we're told is very significant. The first thing we're told, before it says, before it talks about the situation, it's a general statement. Vayar besivlotam. He saw their suffering. Now, a lot of people saw the suffering. It means he saw it. He felt it. Rashi says beautifully, Natan eino vilibo liot mitzar lehem. He was compassionate towards them. We see this later in life when God wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe said, have mercy on them, and if you don't, wipe me out of the book too. What's pshat? Why couldn't he appear in the book? The Avnei Miluim explains that Moshe felt that if they're not in, I have no life. I have no existence. His soul was so bound up with the rest of the Jewish people. Continuing, moving forward 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years, to Hillel HaZaken, who tells us in the Mishnah of Avos, on the one hand, in Ein Ani Li Mi Li, if I don't take care of myself, I can't expect anyone else to. On the other hand, Kishani Li Atzmi Ma Ani, when I'm selfish and only concerned with myself, what am I? It seems to be an existential statement. I'm worthless. Really, am I worthless if I only care about myself? Rav Shimon Shkup in his Shari Yosher explains that it's only a low and crass person. Fourth line, Ha'ish Hagas V'Hashafel. His eye is limited to himself. And that's most of our world, their eye is limited to themselves, even if they do chesed. L'ma'ala mimenu mishin argish she'ani shalo kolel et kol am Yisrael, she'be'emet kol ish Yisrael hu rak ke'ev v'mikuf ha'ma Yisrael. Ve'od yesh b'zeh ma'alot shel ha'ish ha'shalem ra'ui la'ashrish v'nafsho l'hargish she'kol ha'lamot kulam hu ha'ani shalo. V'hu v'atzmo rak ke'ev katan v'toch ha'briya kula. It's an existentialist view. I is not me. I is the whole Jewish people. I is the whole world, all of God's creation. Baal HaTanya explains that this is why the same Hillel believed that not doing to others what you don't want done to yourself is the whole Torah. Kol HaTorah Kula. How could that be the whole Torah? The Baal HaTanya explains the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, there's two ways to look at life. The physical plane or the spiritual plane. Physically, we're all separate. Spiritually, we're all one. We're all one neshama. If a person lives his life on the physical plane, the Torah means nothing. If a person values the spiritual, then he would never hurt anybody else. Because on that plane, we're all the same. And I believe one can extend this to another statement of Hillel, a third statement. At the Simchas Beit Shiva, bottom of page 13, Hillel used to say, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, everything is here. How could he say that? Isn't that presumptuous? Hillel was inextricably linked to all of creation. He felt that when he was there, he brought all of creation with him. And finally, on page 14, Rav Kook and the Beatles. No relationship between them. It's just that the Beatles say what he said after him less beautifully, but people may know English better. Rav Kook encourages us at the top of page 14, Ha'adam tzarich lihichaleitz tamid mimizgurotav apriti. We have to transcend our narrow, limiting frameworks that fill our whole identity. Our thoughts have to be on bigger things beyond ourselves. Klaluta kol, klaluta adam. Klalut Yisrael, l'chol ha'yikum. In a similar claim, Rav Kook writes, second piece, that the love that tzaddikim should feel, kolelet et kol ha'burim kulam, it's supposed to include all creations. V'ina mutziyam min ha'klal shum davar v'lo am v'lashon v'afilo amalek. We're supposed to love everything God creates, even amalek. Rav Kook writes in the third piece, that shalom and achdut can be created based on two bases. It can either be a practical, strategic, we need to work together, or it can be an understanding that God wants the world to work together, that our mission is meant to be to work together. Rav Kook says, the first disappears when the strategic need disappears. The second has a chance to really build something. The Beatles spoke about the space between us all. This song is on their most famous album called Sgt. Pepper's, but nobody knows it because it's a song that's Asian, very hard to hear the words. But you can take out from the dust your Sgt. Pepper's and listen to the last song. But talk about the space between us all. The people who hide themselves behind the wall of illusion never glimpse the truth, and it's far too late when they pass away. We're talking about the love we all could share when we find it. Try our best to hold it there with our love. we could save the world if they only knew. And to see you're really only very small and life flows on within you and without you. Life flows on without you if you don't understand that. It flows on within everyone else as much as it flows on within you. The space between ourselves that keeps us from transcending ourselves. And to conclude, on page 15, we're ending. Shani's here?
What?
Shani's not here, right?
No.
Are they going to the shul? Okay, so yeah. Inside information. The Orot writes, Rav Kook, on page 15, Adam Yisrael shehu rotzeh liskot la'or chayim be'emet. A Jew who wants to merit the real light of life. Tzarechu sheyaskim liyot shotel atzmol b'knesset Yisrael. He has to agree to implant himself within the Jewish people, within the Jewish presence. The holy bow. With everything that makes him. In the next piece, Rav Kook bemoans the fact that we always hear these names about other Jews. He says in the second line, Charedim, Chavshim, religious people, not religious people. Think how far we've come since Rav Kook's time. How many names do we have? Only two. We have so many wonderful names for each other. And Rav Kook says the problem with these names are, number one, when we dismiss each other as part of another camp, we dismiss the need to learn from each other. And we can never become better if everyone else we dismiss as puzzle. But then he says something else. What's even worse about these names is that they allow us to see ourselves as separate entities, not as one people. And we lose the strongest, most important aspect of what Judaism is supposed to mean. To read the last part of this piece, Nitzvadea ish elachiv b'shem Yisrael haklali. We should know each other in only one way, Jewish. The boys from Akolton always say, he's Jewish. They said, what is that? I said, that means everything. B'shem Yisrael HaKlali, lo b'shem miflagti u'machanati, not through a party or a group. Neida sheyesh lanu b'chol machaneh harbeh ma letaken, v'harbeh ma lekabel mehaor v'hatov zeh mizeh. V'az tofia aleinu ha'ora ha'elyona ha'klalit asher ba nivasha tshuat olamim. V'tkayim banu ha'tfila ha'mukdeshet kodesh kodeshim, sheinenu atidim lahaviyah b'chol kach ha'mit nefesh, v'yasu kulam aguda achat la'asog v'tzoncha b'lev avshem. It doesn't just happen. It happens when we make it happen. And he encourages us in the last piece, we should learn to look at our brothers as brothers. Miflaga al miflaga. Be'einayim shel achim chomlim hanetunim yachad b'tzara gdola. V'amuchanim letached amatara kdosha achat. Ezrata klal kulo kvodo mishmarto. And I believe that this is the significance of the tefillah many have the custom to say after Shalom Aleichem on Friday night. We're making the transition from the week when we run around selfishly, trying to take care of our own personal needs while often trampling other people's needs. Shalom Aleichem. And we say this tefillah, there's a song that's been written recently to these words, a very beautiful song. We sing it in our house. Mode ani lifanecho. Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avotai. Al kol ha-chesed asher asita imidi. We thank Hashem for everything He's done for us in the past week. V'asher ata atid la'asot imi. What You will do for me. V'im kol b'nei v'eti. And from all the people of my house. How we make that jump. It's impossible for us to see ourselves as connected to the world. It's impossible to see ourselves as the Jewish people. It's impossible to see our own broader families if we can't see ourselves as one unit within our families. And our children learn from us how to see the relationship with each other. If they see that we see our relationship with our siblings and our broader family and our broader community and our broader people as one team, just hope they'll see themselves that way. But if they see that we see our relationships as mine, his, up, down, competition, right, left, so then they're going to learn from us, like everything else. I saw a quote that I quoted the other day, very powerful quote. It says that parents teach children in three major ways. The first is by example. The second is by example. And the third, by example. And hopefully we'll learn a lot today that'll help us be better examples.